In today's Mishnah, we're in the 5th and 6th Mishnah from the 8th Perek Masechta Sanhedrin. We'll continue learning about the Ben Sorer Amoreh. The Mishnah begins by saying, Ben Sorer Umoreh Nidon Al Shem Sofo. That this wayward son, he is the reason why he's executed is because of the trajectory he's going, not based on what he has done right now. Because if you think about it, what has he really done? He stole a bit of money, he's purchased some meat and wine, he's not listening to his parents. Is that really something that's punishable by death? So the idea is that the concern is that what's going to happen after he runs out of money from his parents, he's going and he's still addicted to these substances, these addictive substances, wanting in this particular case, in the times of Mishnah, that was his wine and his meat. What's he going to do? He's going to start trying to rob off other people. And not everyone is going to be such willing customers, if you like, to being robbed. And he's likely, the concern, he's going to start killing people in order to satisfy his cravings or his desires. So that's why the Torah says, Yamot Zakai, he should be killed now while he hasn't really committed any particular serious offense. Va'al Yamot Chayav, and not after he's been damaged to society. And it would be chayev mitah, meaning a capital punishment for the fact of killing another individual. Again, this is a very interesting Mishnah. It raises a lot of philosophical discussions. I think we mentioned it in Mishnah in one of the Mishnah Yomad articles, because we say in other contexts that a person is judged based on how they are now or not to the future. So why is Ben Sorer appear to be somewhat different? But again, I'll leave that for your own further study, given the brief nature of our shiur. One other point I should mention is before continuing with this Mishnah, because we're about to leave Ben Sorer Moreh, is the discussion in the Gemara whether it can actually ever occur. We've got such a small time frame. We've got such requirements on what he has to do, how he steals, where he steals, the warnings, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the voice of the parents have to be acted the same. So there's a debate in the Gemara whether it actually ever occurs, or could occur, or ever did occur. One opinion says it could never occur. Another opinion says, Rabbi Yonatan says, Ani ra'iti v'shavti al kul kivro, actually sat on the grave as such an individual. Nonetheless, this is still part of Torah. And even if the opinion says it could never occur, the expression is drosh v'kabel schar. There's what to be gained from our limud Torah, learning these Mishnah nonetheless, because it is indeed part of Torah. The Mishnah continues that why is it beneficial for this person to yamot zakai v'yamot chayav? That is shemitatan shel rashim hana alehem, because the death for your rashim is actually a benefit to them. Why? Because that can stop them from continuing to sin. V'hana aleolam, and for the broader society, it's also a benefit to them because they don't have to suffer from the wickedness. However, tzadikim, the death of tzadikim z'ralehem is bad for them because they can no longer perform mitzvot. V'rala olam, and it's bad for the rest of the world because they can no longer benefit from them. From their counsel, from all the schuyot that the tzaddikim can bring on around. Yain v'sheina sheina l'rasha'im hana lehem. Wine and sleeping for rashim, that's great for them. Keep them pacified, make sure they sleep so they can't cause any damage. V'ana l'olam, and therefore better for society. Tzaddikim, if tzaddikim involved in such endeavors, ra lehem. It's bad for them because they're not involved in Torah. V'ana l'olam, because through this bittul Torah, for the fact they're not engaging in Torah, it has its consequences for boards of society as well. Pizur l'shaim, if their rashim is scattered, they're not unified, that's great. Hana lehem, it's good for them, hana l'olam, because it's better good for the world, because they cannot scheme with one another to cause damage. But let tzadikim, over righteous, pizuram, the scattering, the disunity is actually very bad. Ra lehem, v'ra l'olam, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Kinus rashim, the gathering together. Yes, the gathering together of Rashaim is bad. Ra lehem, ra l'olam is bad, because once they gather together, they can now scheme to do bad things, almost the flip side of what we just learned. But tzadikim, for the righteous, hanalim, it's great if we can have tzadikim being unified and come together, hanal olam, because that will only magnify the amount of good that can be caused in the world. Sheket l'rashaim, tranquility and silence, really peaceful, the Rashaim is bad for them. Ralehim v'ralo olam. Why? Because it gives them, again, opportunity to start scheming to cause damage. However, Latzadikim, peace and tranquility is great. Hana lehem, because it affords them more time to increase their Torah mitzvot, and thereby hana olam, and that has its fruit for the rest of the world as well. Let's now learn Mishnah Vav. Haba ma'machteret. So having the previous Mishnah, we discussed someone who's killed al shem sofor because what he's going to do. Well, this Mishnah and tomorrow's Mishnah, the first one, talks about other people where you can preemptively kill an individual. not such a many cases, but we'll see those who mention this Mishnah. The first is Havava Machter. That is someone who's breaking into somebody else's house. He's literally being burrowed in a tunnel to go into somebody else's house. Mishnah says, Nidon al Shem Sofor. The Balabai, the person who lives in the house, can kill him because of al Shem Sofor, what he's likely to do. This person who's this thief who's coming into the house is likely to do. Now, why Hashem Sofor? Why is that such an uncertainty? So the Gemara explains is that it's well known that a man cannot control himself if someone's going to start taking his property. So therefore, he's willing to put up a fight. Now, if the Ganav is aware of what he's going to come up against. So in other words, this Ganav who's burrowing into the house must be coming with the, if you like, either armed physically or mentally, that he's willing to take on this Balabai and kill him in order to steal from the house. Again, particularly because it's well known a Balabait is not going to simply let a Ganav come in and do as he pleases. So therefore, that's why it's Hashem Sofor, the person, if someone's breaking into one's house, the person, the Balabait, is able to almost kill this individual in order, because it's, again, because of all the psychology and everything we've described, it's well known that the Ganav is willing actually to come and kill the person inside the house in order to steal. There is an exception to that. That's only if we know for certain the person's only interested in the money and will not harm the person inside the house whatsoever, then he cannot be executed. What would the example of that be? That would be if a father's breaking into his son's house. A father, even if he's desperate to take some money, there's an innate sense of rachamim there, of mercy, that he would not, if confronted by the son saying, "What are you doing in my house? Get out of here," he will not harm him, he will not hurt him. Submission says, "Haya baba machter b'shavara techavit." Let's say the person who's breaking into the house, as he goes into the house, he actually breaks a jug or a barrel, so it causes financial damage. The mission says, "Im yesh lo david," meaning if it was forbidden for the person inside the house to kill him, so that's a case of the father breaking into his son's house, then the father would be obligated to pay for any monetary damage he caused. That's chayav. Im ein lo damim, if however the person has no damim, meaning it was mutar for the balabayit to actually kill this individual, then it's similar to him having what we call almost a chiyuv mita, almost having a sentence of death placed on him. And we said when there's a sentence of death and a monetary component as well, one would only be chayv for the capital component and not for the monetary component, even if he wasn't actually ever found guilty to be executed. We discussed this previously in Mishnahs. Consequently, if this person, Bamakar, broke something as he was, say, he tunneled into the house and he knocked over a jug as he was going to the house and it broke, and he escaped unharmed, he would actually be patur, he would be exempt from that financial compensation. Those are the Mishnah today.